主后2012年10月14日，太平街马国纪念教会信徒座谈会，讲者者博伟志牧师，讲到题目出埃及记专讲第一讲。
各位早安。
Is this better? Yeah.
啊，这样比较好哈，他用那支。
Thank you for inviting us to be here. Is this? Oh, this better.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay. I'll try this again. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
That means good morning.
那意思是早安。
And again, thank you for inviting us to be here to teach the Word of God.
再次谢谢各位邀请我来教导神的话。
My name is Ariel.
我的名字是 Ariel.
Tomorrow you will meet Devorah.
明天你会跟我的太太相见。
And one of our daughters, Rachel.
还有我的女儿 Rachel 也会来。
They are here in Taichung receiving medical treatment for a few weeks.
他们会待在台中有几个礼拜的那个身体的调整。
So it's very nice to be invited to come here while they're getting medical treatment.
所以真的很高兴在这期间你们愿意邀请我们来这里。
I looked at the calendar.
我看了我的行事历。
And it was exactly 1 year ago this weekend that we were here last.
我就发现去年就整整一年，同样的这个周末我们也是在这个教会。
And there we gave a survey of the book of Leviticus.
那时候我们一起来看利未记。
Our home is Israel.
那我们家是在以色列。
And we are teachers for Torah Resources International.
我们是有一个教导的中心，叫做国际妥拉资源中心。
By profession, I'm a teacher in Israel.
我的工作就是在以色列这么教导。
And we come out of the country during semester breaks to do just this, to teach the Word of God.
那我们在那边也有那些不同的学期，让学生可以来上学，就是教导神的话语。
It really doesn't matter to us how big or how small the group is that invites us.
我们不在乎邀请我们的是大团体或小团体。
But I have to say I'm very impressed with how many of you came this morning, considering the importance of this weekend.
对我来讲，我真的很惊讶，今天早上来了那么多人，因为这个周末要教的其实也蛮重要。
So thank you for being here.
谢谢你们愿意来。
Before we get into Exodus.
当我们要进入出埃及记之前
I'd like to open our day with prayer.
我要来开始我们一天的祷告
And I'd like to say a special prayer for the elections this weekend.
特别我要为今天的选举来祷告
Avinu b'shamayim, our Father in heaven.
我们在天上的父
Thank you that you have called us to be together today.
谢谢你呼召我们今日这样的聚集
Thank you for the freedom and privilege of being able to teach God's word openly.
谢谢你给我们这样的自由，可以明白来教导你的教导。
When we realize that many parts of the world this is not allowed.
我们知道在世界很多地方仍然不容许有神的话语。
Lord, as I'm thinking about the freedoms that we have.
父，当我们想到我们拥有这样的自由。
We put before you today the elections in Taiwan.
我们把今天在台湾这样的大选放到你的脚前。
Lord, we ask that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
父，我们愿你的旨意行在地上，如同在天。
And we ask that whatever is done will unify this country.
不管结果怎么样，你要来让这个国家能够合一。
And make it even stronger.
甚至让这个国家更强壮。
That the freedoms to continue to speak freely and to worship freely will continue.
好让这样的可以自由的言论，自由的敬拜可以持续下去。
So Lord, we give this weekend to you.
所以父，我们将这个周末献上给你。
And we ask that you would give your people wisdom as to who to vote for.
我们邀请神给我你的百姓有这样的智慧来投那一票。
Yeah, Lord, so we give that whole election scene to you in this country.
所以父，我们将整个国家这样的选举放在你面前。
For a time together here this morning, Lord.
父，这早上我们要来听。
We ask that you would open our eyes.
我们邀请你打开我们的眼。
To see and to understand wonderful things from your Torah.
来看见而且了解你在妥拉里面的美妙。
I pray in Messiah's name.
我奉弥赛亚的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
When we were planning this weekend,
当我们在计划这个周末
Amy contacted us.
淑芳姐跟我们联络。
And she asked us if we would teach the book of Exodus.
她就问我说我们能不能教出埃及记。
And I thought, that's wonderful. I love teaching the book of Exodus.
我就心想太棒了，我就是很喜欢教这一本书卷。
And it's going to be a lot of fun for all of us.
那对我们来讲会有很多乐趣。
But then she said something else in her email.
然后之后在她的 email 又讲了一些事。
She said, I would like you to focus on
我想要你能够专注的是
Exodus, for what it teaches in Exodus about politics and government.
然后能不能从出埃及记特别教导我们关于那个政治或是那个管理的部分
What it teaches about family.
然后关于从里面有教导关于家庭的
And what it teaches about educating our children.
还有如何教育我们的孩子的部分
And I thought to myself,
我就自己想了。
Oh boy.
糟了。
How many weeks do we have together?
我们到底能够有几周的时间可以来讲这些主题
？Each one of those is a seminar in itself.
其实他讲的每一个部分都是我们一个标题要在我们学院要研究的。
So inside of myself, I said, this can never be done.
那我心里就想啊，不可能，他给我那么多主题，这一个周末讲不完。
But then I began to think more about it.
之后我就多想了一下。
And I realized that is actually a wonderful approach to the book of Exodus.
那事实上就是要来看出埃及记最美的部分。
It's borders on brilliance, actually.
事实上这样的方式是真的很明智的一个方式。
And so we decided to do something like this.
那我们就决定要做一些像这样的事。
We know that we will not finish through the whole book of Exodus today.
我们知道我们今天要讲整个出埃及记是不可能讲得完。
Maybe if we had an extra afternoon and evening, we could do it.
若是有那个额外的下午跟晚上，那我们也许可以讲得完。
But we'll just go as far as we can.
那我们尽可能讲。
And as we go through Exodus,
当我们要看整本出埃及记
we will do just that.
我们就专注在刚刚讲的那几个部分。
For each section of the book,
所以在每一个书卷里
We will look at it in terms of its theological input.
我们会看见它到底从这边我们看见什么样的神学观
In other words, what can we learn about God and how to relate to Him?
换句话说我们来看见神如何然后知道如何跟他做连结
Then we'll see if that particular section says anything about politics or government.
所以再来我们就要看见在里面关乎到政府还有管理的这部分
We cannot go into any great depth, but we'll just mention some things for your further study.
没有办法讲得太深邃了，因为时间的关系。但是我们会给你们一些情况，让你们可以继续研读下去。
Then we will see if that section of Exodus has anything to say about family.
然后之后我们要看看出埃及记谈到关于家庭的部分。
And finally, we'll see if there's anything that we can learn about educating our children.
然后之后我们再看看里面关于教育孩子的一些部分。
These four values,
这四个价值
theology,
就是神学观
government or politics,
政府或是政治的管理
family,
家庭
and education,
还有教育
represent your values,
是代表出那个我们的代表出这样的价值观了
I realize as Amy gave us this topic,
我就了解到淑芳姐给我们这样的主题。
But these are really things that are very heavy on your minds.
事实上，在你们意念里面会是非常非常重的一个想那个思考。
And even though Exodus was written 3,500 years ago,
就算是那个出埃及记3500年前写成的。
By approaching the book in this way, we can see how absolutely relevant it is to life right here and now.
当我们真的要去看这本书，看这整个书的时候，我们会发现跟我们现在也仍然有连结。
I may add one more thing.
我要再多加一件。
Not only are these values your values,
不只是这些价值观，应该是你们的价值观。
But they are also the same values that the Jewish people have too.
人也是犹太人服侍跟我们服侍同样一位神
When you visit a Jewish home,
当你来拜访犹太家庭
especially in Israel,
特别在以色列
there are usually two things of conversation around the dinner table.
在餐桌前他们会用两件事来沟通
We talk about religion and politics.
我们谈宗教还有政治
We also throw in some comments about our families and our children.
然后在餐桌那边也会谈论我们的家庭，也会谈论我们的孩子。
So this is actually a very Jewish approach to the book too.
所以事实上，这个书卷是非常犹太式的内容。
Now, I would like to begin by giving you a broad outline of the book.
那我会稍微给你们这一个整个书卷的大纲。
Just this is to help us to be able to think through the book of Exodus.
这可以帮助我们来思考整本出埃及记。
It's actually a very well organized book.
那事实上是组织架构很好的一个书卷。
It's exciting history.
是一个令人很兴奋的一个历史。
And I wish we had time to show what an incredible literary masterpiece it is.
我们真的很希望有足够的时间来分享这个很奇妙的，真的字面上的那些在诉说的东西。
Moses is the author of the book.
那摩西就是这本书卷的作者。
I should say Moses is the inscriber of the book.
那我应该讲说摩西是把这个书卷给论述记录下来的人。
The words are God's words.
因为事实上话语是神的话语。
And we see if we examine the book closely.
若是我们仔细来研读这书卷。
Especially in Hebrew,
特别用希伯来文
we will see that Moses was an absolutely brilliant writer.
我们会发现摩西真的是非常聪明的一个作者。
He uses themes that he carries all throughout the book.
他用这样的主题来贯穿整卷书。
He repeats phrases or words that are essential to the theme of the book.
然后他会重复那个字或者是重复的句子来再贯穿在整本书。
And he throws out ideas that he wants us to go deeper in below the surface.
他也会丢出一个他的那个要我们去思考的，从甚至是深入更深入的思考的。
We'll bring out some of those just to give you a taste.
那我们会给你们一些，让你们尝尝滋味就好。
But here's a broad outline of the book of Exodus just for you to.To follow in your own study.
那我会给你们一些大纲，让你们自己要研读的时候有个方向。
I call this rediscovering Exodus.
我称它是重新发现出埃及记。
Because I'm assuming that all of you have sometime or another read the book.
因为我想各位不管怎么样都曾经都读过这一卷书了。
And our time together is just a rediscovery.
那我们在一起只是重新来发现。
I call Exodus the book of redemption.
我称这一本书是一本救赎的书。
And so we'll first of all introduce the book of redemption.
所以首先我们就来看看这个介绍。哎。
Oh. Yeah, it's somehow going automatically. I don't know how to stop that.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, we'll look at chapters 1 through 11.
然后再来，我们就要看第一章到第十一章。
And well, that chapters 1 to 11 talk about the need for redemption.
第一章到第十一章谈论到救赎的需要。
Chapters 12 to 15.
十二章到十五章。
Tell us about the actual act of redemption.
等一下，等一下，他是自己跑了，因为 goes itself.
I know, I don't know.
哎呦，没关系，好，哎，他怎么自己跑了？那十二章到十五章是谈到救赎的作为。
So chapters 1 to 11 is the need for redemption.
那十五章到十九章谈到被救赎者的旅程。
Chapter 12 to 15 is the act of redemption.
对不起，那个十二章到十五章讲的是救赎的作为。
Chapters 15 to 19.
十五章到十九章。
So one of my favorite sections is the journey of the redeemed.
就是被救赎者的旅程。
The journey of Israel after they come out of Egypt to Mount Sinai.
就是以色列民从埃及出来进到西乃山。
Chapters 19 to 24 is the book of the redeemed.
那十九章到二十四章是关于被救赎者的书。
Where for the very first time in history, God not only speaks, but he records on paper what he speaks.
这在整个历史上神不只在说，而且他要求他们写在书上。
And then,
之后
，chapters 25 to 40，
二十五章到四十章
，talk about God's presence with the redeemed，
就是神与被救赎者同在。
That's a good outline of the book of Exodus。
这是整本出埃及记最好的大纲的分法。
And we'll follow that outline as we teach today。
我们今日在教的时候会跟着这样的大纲分类。
At the very end, I also throw in something else.
在最后结束，我还觉得还有一个。
we give a summary of the book as we examine the God of the redeemed.
我们把整本书做一个结论，就是被救赎者的神。
What do we learn about God from the book of Exodus?
就是在出埃及记里面看见我们的神是怎样的一位神。
This outline is also on your notes.
这些大纲也都在你的讲义里。
And I do apologize for your notes being in English.
很对不起，都是英文，也来不及翻译。
I just didn't get it to the church in time to be translated. That's all. It's my responsibility. I'm sorry for that.
这是我的问题。我来不及给教会让他们有足够的时间去翻译。对不起。
Now within this outline,
然后在这样的大纲
，every section will be divided into four parts.
每一个部分都被分成四个部分了。
We will talk. We'll look at the theological significance of that section.
我们第一个会看到它神学的重要性。
Then we'll examine the political and/or governmental significance of that section.
然后之后我们会看见它政治跟统治的重要性。
Thirdly, we'll look at its educational significance.
再来我们会看看那个教育的重要性。
Then we'll see if there's any significance for family life.
然后之后我们来看看家庭生活的重要性。
We had a little chance of finishing Exodus if we didn't break it down like this.
然后我们有一个小小的机会可以把它分成这些来讲。
But I think in the long run, this will be far, far better for us.
然后我就想很久了，我想这也许这对我们是最重要的这四部分。
So thank you, Amy, for being persistent with me and giving us the idea.
所以谢谢淑芳姐，那强制我要这些主题，让我真的好好思考过了。
Let's introduce the book of Exodus, the book of redemption.
然后我们来介绍这一本书，就是出埃及记，它是关乎救赎的书。
The very first words of the book of Exodus in Hebrews tells us a lot.
然后在出埃及记的第一句话就那希伯来文就告诉我们很多资讯了。
Ve'ela shemot b'nei Yisrael habayim mimitzrayim.These are the names of the sons of Israel, the ones who came out from Egypt.
这些就是那些跟着出埃及的那些子孙的名字。
In Hebrew,
在希伯来文
this book starts the way that books should not start.
那这一本书就是从等一下从 the should not start 这个字母开始，他们是从左。
It begins with that particular letter.
就是很。独特的那个很特别的一个字母
and it means and
那个意思就是及和
you should not begin a book with the word and
你要开始写一本书怎么可能开始的第一个字就是说和
that's bad writing
那是最糟的写作方式对不对
unless of course the book you're writing is a continuation of something previous
除非你这个是跟着前面一直延续过来，你才会写一个汉作为开头。
In fact, that's what the writer of Exodus is telling us.
事实上，这也是出埃及记作者尝试要告诉我们的。
Exodus is inseparable from the book of Genesis.
所以出埃及记跟创世记其实是分不开的。
It's a continuation of the book of Genesis.
事实上是创世记的继续版。
Oh darn! I forgot to do this.And so, to understand the book of Exodus,
所以我们要了解那个出埃及记的话
，we have to know the story of Genesis.
我们就必须了解创世记
，especially the last many chapters with Israel being in Egypt.
特别是在最后一章，当以色列民在埃及地。
The second important word in the Hebrew introduction,
在第二个介绍的那个字眼
is this word that's underlined.
就是现在画绿色底线的那个字。
Shemot.
Shemot.
The word Shemot means names.
那 Shemot 的意思是名字。
The Hebrew title for the book. This provides for us the Hebrew title for the book.
所以这就告诉我们这本书卷希伯来文的那个主题是什么。
If you talk to Jewish people about this book of the Bible.
若是你要跟犹太人谈论这一本书。
And you say, I'm studying Exodus.
你跟他讲说，我正在研读出埃及记。
Well, if they speak English, they know what you're talking about.
会讲英文的，他们知道你在讲什么。
But among themselves, they don't call it Exodus.
但是在犹太人当中，他们不称它是出埃及记。
They name the book, they name all the books of the Bible after the first important Hebrew word.
他们都用了这个这一卷书第一个重要的希伯来字来命名这个这一卷书。
In this case, it's the word Shemot.
所以在这里他们就称这一个书卷为 Shemot.
Which means names.
意思就是名字。
These are the names.
这些都是那些名字。
And this tells us a lot about the book, actually.
所以事实上这也告诉我们关于这书卷很多资讯了。
In this book,
在这些书卷,
we have the name of the oppressed people.
我们有那些很重要的人的名字。
Which is Israel.
就是以色列名里的。
We also have the name for their new nation.
然后我们有这个就是被压制人的名字，还有那些新民族的名字。
In Exodus,
在出埃及记,
they changed from becoming a big family.
他们被改变成为一个大家族。
The children of Jacob,
那些雅各的子孙,
to becoming a nation called Israel.
就成为一个国了，称为以色列。
Thirdly,
第三。
We have the names of their national heroes.
有民族英雄的名字。
Moses and Aaron.
那就是摩西跟亚伦。
Fourthly,
第四。
In this book,
在这书卷,
we're introduced to a wonderful, important name for God.
他就介绍了一个神很重要、很美妙的名字。
The problem is we don't know how to say this name.
你知道问题就在于不知道怎么发音他的名字。
When the temple was standing in Jerusalem, people used to say this name.
只要在圣殿在耶路撒冷被建造的时候，他们习惯这么发音神的名字。
But for almost 2,000 years, Jewish people have not pronounced this particular name for God.
两千年后，犹太人已经不知道如何发这个音神的名字的音了。
In English,
在
people often call it Yahweh.
对不起。
Jehovah.
在英文就是亚威 Jehovah.
Jewish people never say these names.
事实上犹太人的发音都完全不是这两种。
They're just guesses. They're not really, we don't really know how to say this Hebrew word.
他们只是看但不知道如何发音这个字。
But how we say it is not important.
那知道怎么发音不重要。
What this name for God means is the most important thing.
神的名字的意义才是最重要。
In the book of Exodus, we understand the meaning of this word.
在出埃及记，他就让我们了解他的名字的意思。
And then the book of Exodus still talks about more names.
出埃及记还谈论到更多的名字。
In addition to the name for our enemy,
然后还有对我们来讲那些仇敌的名字。
There are names that we wish were mentioned but are not.
他们应该是要被提名，但是却没有被提到。
We don't know, for example, the names of the pharaohs.
举例，我们不知道法老的名字。
They're not mentioned in the book of Exodus.
没有在出埃及记特别提到他叫什么。
We have a pretty good guess who they were.
我们有很好的猜测，应该是哪个名字。
From our study of secular history.
就是我们从那个世俗的历史。
But
the
very fact that the names for Pharaoh were not mentioned in this book,
事实上在这本书卷里面完全没有提到那时候的法老的名字是什么,
gives us a hint about how old the book is.
所以你就可以猜猜这本书到底有多老了。
In the 14th and 15th century before Yeshua,
就是在主前15世纪前,
in Egyptian writings,
在埃及的那些作者
Pharaoh's name was very seldom mentioned.
在那时候法老名字在那些写作人的书里头很少会直接提到法老名字。
He was simply called Pharaoh.
他们只是讲法老。
It wasn't until later on in history,
只是在历史的之后
around 12 or 13 centuries before Yeshua,
只有等到在主前十二十三世纪那时候
that the personal name for Pharaoh began to be mentioned frequently.
法老个人的名字才常常出现在书本上。
The fact that Exodus and Genesis do not tell us who the Pharaohs were,
事实上在创世纪跟出埃及记都没有告诉我们那法老的名字是什么。
Is a testimony about how old and when those books were written.
这也可以见证出 这书卷有多么早之前已经被写下来。
They were written 14 or 15 centuries before Yeshua.
就可以知道这个是在主前14、15世纪已经被写成了。
There are other names that are not mentioned that we wish were mentioned.
还有一些名字没有被提到，但是很希望它也被提出来的。
But that's the important one.
但是那些也不是很重要的。
So the book of So the book of Exodus in Hebrew is called Shemot.
所以在希伯来文称这个书卷为 Shemot.
Means names.
意思就是名字。
And we see that names are a theme of the book.
然后我们就看见原来这个书卷的主题就是名字。
The word Exodus
这个出埃及记这个字
is from the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures
是从希腊文的圣经译本而来的。
Made about 200 some years before Yeshua
是在 主前差不多200多年的时候来的。
All right, that's an introduction to the book of Exodus
这就是、介绍关于出埃及记这个书卷的大概。
Now let's look at chapters one, a brief survey of chapters 1 through 11.
现在我们来看看、第一章到第十一章。
And we'll look at these chapters in terms of the need for redemption.
这一个部分我们称为救赎的需要。
First of all, we'll examine the theological significance of this part of the book.
首先我们要来看看这个书卷它在神学性的重要。
One of the major theological significances is tied up with the word Egypt.
所以这一本在神学上很重要的、最重要的一个就是埃及跟埃及有关。
The children of Israel are in Egypt.
那些以色列百姓是在埃及地。
Egypt is a Hebrew word that means a narrow place.
在希伯来文埃及的意思就是狭窄之地。
And it's a good description of ancient Egypt.
是真的很好的一个描述了古代的埃及了。
Topographically, or geographically, if you would,
若是在地理位置上，
Egypt was a narrow place.
它真的是一个狭窄的地方。
Look at the satellite picture of Egypt.
看看这个、在从卫星照出来的那个埃及的地图。
It looks like a long green snake.
看起来真的很像一个很长的绿蛇哦。
And the top is a green triangle.
然后在顶上就是那种三角形的那个蛇头。
And all the rest is brown.
然后其他地方都是那个土黄色的。
The brown is desert.
那这土黄色的都是那些沙漠。
The green is the thin strip of vegetation that grows alongside.The Nile River.
那狭长的这个绿洲绿地呢，是就是那个尼罗河的两边。
As the Nile River flows from the south, that's the bottom of the picture.
South. 那尼罗河就是从那个这边一直往这边流。
To the north, which is the top of the picture.
从南方尼罗河从南方一直往北方相片的这个北方流。
Before it enters into the Mediterranean Sea,
然后直接接着在流进那地中海之前
it fans out to a triangle, a very broad delta.
就来形成了一个很大的三角洲了。
That's all the green in the top of the picture that you see.
这个就是你在图片上看到一整块三角形的绿地。
All the green is vegetation.
所有的这些绿色都是他们的菜蔬，还有那些绿洲。
And in the north, there's all kinds of branches of the Nile and canals that were made.
在整个北方那边就是很多尼罗河流到这边很多的支流就出来了。
Creating a very fertile delta.
就形成了很肥沃的那个土地，很肥沃的那个泥土。
In the biblical world.
在圣经的语言上。
The delta was called Goshen.
那
Goshen.
用的字眼。歌山对就是歌山。
Thank you. That's where the children of Israel lived.
那这个歌山地就是以色列民所居住的地方。
But for the most part,
但是大部分的地方。
Egypt was a narrow place.
埃及仍然是狭窄的地。
Historians call Egypt the gift of the Nile.
历史上称埃及是尼罗河的赏赐。
Without the Nile River, Egypt simply did not exist.
若没有这条尼罗河，埃及根本是不存在的。
Now, this narrow place physically.
这一个对不起哦，他那个又自己跳出来。
Is a picture of Egypt spiritually.
所以在地理上的这个样子，事实上也画出了他属灵上的样子。
And this is an example of a literary device.
这事实上就是很真实的，就给他行定义出来。
Moses wants us to think beyond political borders and political entities.
摩西他的思考是超过这样的政治还有这样的一个的界限。
Egypt being a narrow place,
埃及是一个狭窄之地
becomes like a metaphor or a symbol.
就成为像一个象征一样
for the spiritual narrowness of the people.
就看见了这在属灵上也定义出这些，也显示出这些百姓。
Egypt spiritually was a narrow place.
在属灵上，埃及也是一个狭窄的地方。
The covenanted people of God, Israel.
这神立约的百姓以色列
were slaves there.
在那边是为奴的
They could not worship God there.
在那边无法敬拜他们神
Egypt had all kinds of gods.
埃及拥有各式各样的神
But one God they did not permit to be worshipped.
但是有一个神是不容许被敬拜
was the real God.
那就是那真神
the creator of the heavens and the earth.
那创造天地的主
He was not permitted to be worshipped there.
在那边不容许敬拜这位神。
One had to leave Egypt to find God and to worship Him.
是必须要离开埃及地才能来找到这位真神，才能来敬拜这位真神。
Now please understand that I'm not talking about the modern day political country called Egypt.
请你一定要了解，我谈论的不是现代的埃及啊。
And Moses wants us to think beyond borders.
所以摩西要我们想超越这样的地图的疆界。
And he wants us, he's using Egypt physically as a picture for a spirit, the spiritual reality that he calls Egypt.
他用这样的一个图像来让我们去思考出在属灵上的那样的埃及地。
Egypt was a place where God was not permitted to be worshipped.
埃及地就是我们的真神不容许被敬拜的地方。
But the theological realities were worse than that.
那在那个神学上还有更超过这些的。
According to the first 11 chapters of Exodus,
照着前面那11章的出埃及记。
God's people were in bondage.
神的百姓在那边是在被捆绑中的。
Look what the scripture says.
看看这个经文所说的。
So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out.
只是越发苦害他们，然后越发他们埃及人就因以色列人愁烦。
This is physical bondage.
这是很实际的这种捆绑。
They really were slaves.
他们真的工作得像个奴隶。
But once again, Moses wants us to think beyond just the physical.
再一次强调，摩西要我们想的是超过那个物质实际的看见的状况。
The physical bondage is a picture of their spiritual bondage.
他们整个身体被压制的情况，事实上就是他们灵里头被压制的情况。
The children of Israel were enslaved.
以色列百姓是被用为奴隶。
Not just to Pharaoh.
不只是法老王。
But to the gods of Egypt.
甚至埃及的那些神子。
Which they were not really gods to begin with.
事实上那些根本不是真的神。
They were just demonic manifestations.
事实上那些他们所拜的称为的神都是那些邪灵。
Israel could not worship God there.
所以以色列人不容许在埃及地拜神。
Not only was Egypt a narrow place.
不只是因为埃及地是一个狭窄之地。
Not permitting them to think beyond.
也没办法能够超越这些。
But Egypt held them in bondage to Egypt's gods.
而且埃及把他们捆绑在埃及的那些偶像底下。
Does it sound familiar?
这有没有听起来有点熟悉呀？
We think of Paul's writings in the book of Romans.
我们就想到保罗写罗马书。
While we were still sinners.
当我们仍然是罪人的时候
we were in a narrow place.
我们是在一个很狭窄的地方
we may have considered all kinds of gods out there.
我们看见外面各式各样的偶像
But one God we did not consider was the real God.
但是有一位真神，我们却没有去认出他，那一位真神。
Why didn't we consider him?
为什么我们没有认出他来？
Because Paul said we were slaves to sin.
因为保罗说了，我们是罪的奴隶。
We were not free.
所以我们是不自由的。
We were in bondage to sin.
我们是在罪的捆绑里面。
The first 11 chapters of Exodus.
首先出埃及记的前十一章。
Talk about more very sad theological realities.
也谈到了很多的整个更让人哀伤的状况。
Not only was it a narrow place.
不只是个狭窄之地。
And the people of Israel were in bondage.
以色列百姓是在捆绑中。
But they were also serving a kingdom of darkness.
而且他们必须服侍一个黑暗的国度。
We read, Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt, so they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor.
我们看到第一章八到十二节，有不认识约瑟的新王起来治理埃及，于是埃及人派督工的辖制他们，加重担苦害他们。
This is actually not a very good translation.
当然，这不是最好的一个翻译。
The text in Hebrew does not say they did not know about Joseph.
那事实上并不是说他们不认识约瑟。
Of course the new king knew about Joseph. It's part of their history.
当然新王绝对知道约瑟，因为都在他们历史书上。
What the text is simply telling us,
这个内容主要是要告诉我们
is that the new king did not acknowledge the importance of Joseph.
这新王没有辨识出约瑟整个家族的重要性。
He did not identify him and know him personally.
没有真的个人的认识约瑟整个家族
And what Joseph stood for.
也没有去认知到约瑟为埃及所做的事
So we learn that the children of Israel became slaves to this kingdom.
所以我们就学习到以色列百姓最后成为这个国家的奴隶
What do I mean when I say they served the kingdom of darkness?
当我说他们在服侍那黑暗的国度的时候那意思是什么呢
We need to ask the question
我们必须要问这问题
Who ruled Egypt?
谁在掌管埃及
on the right, you see a mask.
在那个右边，你看到一个面具。
This is an actual object found in Egypt.
这是在埃及发现的。
And it represents Pharaoh.
代表的是法老王。
On the left,
在左边
you see the real leader of Egypt.
你就看见埃及最真实的领袖是这一位了。
The snake.
就是那蛇。
The same snake that was in the garden.
是这位蛇在统管这个国度。
Not a physical snake.
不是实际上的一条蛇。
But the real snake.
但是却是是真实的蛇。
How is it represented by this mask?
那如何代表出这个面具的呢?
Well, notice what we have on the mask.
那我们来认识一下这个面具。
We have a cobra.
我们看见有那眼镜蛇
There's his head.
就在他头上
We have the cobra's hood.
然后我们也有他的那个叫做 兜帽
Then the fake beard that Pharaoh wore.
就是在他那边还有再来他的就是灯盔一类哈就是那在那面具的旁边这个然后再来
It represents the cobra's body.
然后再来还有它有中间有一个长长在下颚这边长长那个代表就是眼镜蛇 的身体。
Every time people looked at the headdress of Pharaoh.
所以那个是身体而不是头。所以每一次人们百姓看着这个面具。
They thought of the snake.
他们事实上就是看见的想到的就是那个眼镜蛇。
They didn't know the spiritual realities of this.
他们完全不知道在属灵的真相事实上就这样
But we do.
但是我们却知道
Pharaoh really was not the real enemy of Israel.
所以那个法老还不是真实以色列百姓的仇敌
The real enemy of Israel was the real enemy of mankind since the beginning.
就是以色列百姓最真实的仇敌就是人类一开始的那位仇敌
The snake.
就是那蛇
He was the real enemy of God's people, and he still is.
他才是最真实神百姓的仇敌，他到此刻仍然是。
What do the scriptures say?
经文怎么说呢？
When we became believers in Yeshua,
当我们相信耶稣
God transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His Son.
他就把我们从黑暗的国度转到他的儿子的国度。
The theological reality of Exodus
在出埃及记整个神学的真相里
on a physical level
而且还在实际在物质界的真相里
pictures for all of us are the spiritual realities of mankind
然后我们就他就彰显出一个画面我们都是人类的子孙
apart from Yeshua
都是在那个耶稣的一个部分
it's pretty bad out there isn't it
在耶稣以外的部分那是不是都是很糟的呢
apart from Yeshua
离开了耶稣
the reality of all of our lives
我们整个生命的真相
was that we were very narrow
就我们变得非常的狭窄了
we did not consider the realities of our creator
我们就完全不会去在意看见我们的创造主
apart from Yeshua we were in bondage to sin
离开了耶稣我们就在罪的捆绑里面
apart from Yeshua we served another kingdom
若是离开了耶稣我们就服侍了另外一个国度了
the kingdom of the snake
那就是蛇的国度
and a lot of us did not even realize it
很多人仍然没有看见了解到这真相
but then the book of Exodus in the first 11 chapters
在出埃及记的前十一章
not only present to us the grim theological realities of their servitude in Egypt
不只彰显出在神学的部分看见他们如何是在处在那必须服侍埃及的状况里
but God also has good news there too
在那边神也有好消息
there are passages like this
他给的经文是这样
Exodus chapter 2 verses 23 to 25
出埃及记二章二十三到二十五节
Can you read it for me, please?
OK 过了多年埃及王死了以色列人因做苦工就叹息哀求他们哀声达于神神听见他们的哀声就纪念他与亚伯拉罕以撒雅各所立的约神看顾以色列人也知道他们的苦情
This is a great passage, isn't it?
你看这是很棒的一段经文对不对
Any pastors or teachers out there, this is a great sermon passage.
若是要教导的话，这个真是一个最棒的一个讲道篇了。
The reality of this passage, however,
不管怎样，这个经文它的真相是
is that this is Moses writing.
这是摩西写下来的。
Moses is telling us what God was thinking.
摩西在告诉我们的是神的想法。
Because God was telling Moses what God was thinking.
因为神告诉摩西神自己的想法。
But the children of Israel did not know this about God.
但是以色列民却不认识神。
It's describing the emotional reaction to Israel to their oppression.
所以只叙述说以色列民他们在情绪情感上在这么压制底下的状况。
But it's telling us what God was thinking at the same time.
也在告诉我们神同时在心里面所想的是。
The children of Israel woke up in the morning, they went to their slavery.
以色列民早上醒来就必须去做奴隶的工
and they came home at night tired
然后晚上很晚回家已经疲累了
and they rightfully they were complaining about their condition
所以他们是真的在抱怨他们的状况
it was bad enough that they were not free
就是如果他们不自由的话这是很糟糕的情况
but the first chapters of Exodus tells us that Pharaoh set out to destroy them physically
但是在出埃及记一开始那张我看见法老王是定义要想要摧毁这个民族的
Their children were being taken from them.
他们的孩子甚至被带离开他们自己的
And they're crying out to God.
他们就对神来哭求
And they kept crying out and crying out and to them it seemed that God was absolutely silent.
他们不断的哭求又哭求又哭求他们就觉得好像神都没有在听因为他觉得神是那种静默的
Hasn't that happened to us many times?
是不是也发生在我们身上很多时候也是像这样呢
We are in an impossible situation
我们在那个最不可能可以成就的状况里
And we're crying out to God with all of our feelings
我们就带着我们所有的情绪情感对神不断哭求
And it seems like we're speaking to the walls
好像都在对墙壁说话一样
It seems like God does not listen or care about our situation.
好像神也不听也不在乎我们的情况一样。
This is what this passage is telling us.
这就是这个经文在告诉我们的。
But look what it says about God.
但是看看他这边提到神怎么样。
All the while, here's what God was thinking.
这个都是神自己心里在想的话。
God heard their cries.
所以他说神听见他们的哀声。
He was there.
他是在那边的。
And he was not silent.
他在那边听着，他并没有沉默。
He heard every cry and he felt every tear.
他听见每一个哀哭，他也收集每一滴泪水。
And God brought to his own memory the covenant he made with his people.
神也就来纪念他与他自己百姓的立约。
And he said, I know, I made a covenant with his people.
他说，我知道，我跟这群百姓已经立了约了。
I will not forsake them.
我不会遗弃他们。
And it says that God saw them.
所以他那边讲到，神就看顾他们。
He didn't turn his back on them.
他并没有转背向他们。
He saw them.
他是看着他们。
You know, a couple of weeks ago,
你知道几个礼拜前,
I was walking down the street in Taichung.
我在台中在街上走,
on New Year's Day.
在那时候,
and I hurt myself.
在那个下午的时候, 结果我就让自己受伤了。
I was walking along a very narrow and dark sidewalk.
我那傍晚的时候是走在那个很窄的一个旁边的那个步道,
too close to the wall.
事实上是走在走廊下, 但是我太靠近那个墙了。
And I stepped up right into a metal box.
然后不知道在旁边有一个铁盒子。
And as a result, I had a few stitches put in.
这结果就是我必须去缝五针。
It was ugly.
这很糟糕。
I felt it.
我就这样子去撞伤。
But Deborah had a look at it.
我没有去看见，我只是感觉到，但是我的太太 Deborah 她看见了。The
blood was everywhere.
到处都是流了血，她是那个一整条细细的被撕裂，撕裂在那个铁盒子角。Part
of my scalp was missing.
所以有一长段的那个头皮已经被撕和头发在粘在那个铁盒子的角那里。
Deborah had a look at it.
然后我的太太 Deborah 看见了，还把那块皮拿下来。这一段她没讲。
After the doctors were done, she was the one who had to change the bandage.
所以当我去给医生缝针的时候，她必须学会怎么为我那个换药，所以她也看了。
She could very easily have said, "I can't handle this."
她可以很容易讲说，哎呀，我做不来。
And it would have been okay.
那也会没关系啊。
But because of her love for me,
但是因为她对我的爱,
her care for me,
她对我的关心,
she saw my suffering.
她看见我如此的受苦,
she did not turn her back.
她并没有转背说不敢不看,
with courage and compassion and love, she looked at it.
她因着她的爱, 还有对我的鼓励, 还有她对我的爱, 她就看着我。
That's true on a physical level.
那就是真实的那个实际的那种画面。
But that's what the text is saying about God.
这个经文也在谈到神对待他的百姓的方式。
As the people are suffering every day and being killed,
当他百姓每天受苦，要被杀害了。
God could easily have been stone cold and say, "Yes, I'll take care of things."
然后神也许就是可以这样子，就是很冷酷的、很冷漠的，就是我不管了。
But he didn't turn his back.
但是他并没有转背。
He looked at the suffering.
他看着他百姓所受的苦。
He saw every bit of it.
他看见他每一个苦。
And if God cries, it would have brought tears to his eyes.
若是神哭的话, 神真是会流眼泪的。
His compassion, his love, and his mercy.
就是他的怜悯, 他的热情, 还有他的爱,
are expressed by this term, God saw.
就在这一句短短的一句话, 显示出来说神看顾了。
And then the text says God knew.
那另外下一句说神也知道。It
doesn't exactly say what he knew.
也不是说他知道什么。But
the very next chapter,
但是下一章,
Exodus chapter 3 verse 1,
在第三章第一节,
pretend there's no chapter breaks in Exodus.
好,我们现在假设都没有分章节。
After it says he knew,
那作者说神知道。
The master literary piece that Exodus is
这写出来遗迹的这个人知道
gives us a hint about what God knew.
他指出神知道什么了。
He knew now's the time to send the Redeemer.
他知道时刻到了就是要来差派救赎者进来的时候。
Enter Moses on the scene.
所以就是把摩西亚你要进来了。进场。摩西要进场了。
There's Moses back in Midian.
他是在摩西，你看他在那个米甸。
God says to Moses, "Pack your bags, man. You're going to leave."
啊，摩西说，哎，这位啊，你要打包，要开始离开了。
Now it's time.
时刻到了。
Get back to Egypt.
要回去埃及地的。
Take your camels, take your family.
带着你的骆驼，带着你的家庭。
Not too sure which order.
不晓得到底应该怎么打包法。
Because now's your moment, Moses.
因为摩西，现在你的时刻到了。
God was acting.
神正在做一些事了。
And Israel didn't realize it.
那以色列民还不知道。
That's why I believe in a sovereign God.
这是为什么我们必须要相信这那个掌权的神。
Exodus presents the fact that we have a sovereign God.
那出埃及代表就是看见我们有一个管理整个掌管的神。
Nobody dictates to God.
没有人来指使神。
Nobody convinces God to do anything.
没有人可以来要求强迫神做什么事。
Nobody needs to dictate to God or convince God to do anything.
没有人需要去提醒或是要求神必须做什么事。
Because at all times God is gracious, compassionate, and mercy.
因着神随时都是那充满恩典、充满怜悯、充满爱的神。
Combine that with the fact that at all times God is wise, just, and knowledgeable.
所以也加上了神，你要看见神在那时候他是完全都是知道万事的。
God knows exactly when to send Moses.
神知道在什么时刻就该是差派摩西的时刻。
God knows exactly when to send relief to our prayers.
神知道在什么时候要来回答我们的祷告。
It doesn't come a moment earlier than it's necessary.
绝对不会早于那个时刻。
But God in His infinite wisdom is a sovereign God, and I'm so grateful for it.
就因为神知道那绝对时刻不早不晚，所以这是为什么我那么相信全心的信靠他是一个掌管万事的神。
Now there is something else going on in Egypt.
在埃及地还有一些事情
That was good news too.
也是好消息
Okay, you're out in the slave fields now with the Israelites. We're skipping some slides here.
好，我们要跳到这一章
Okay, those are the slave fields.
这些到底奴隶感觉像怎么样呢？就是像这种感觉
Most of the people of Israel, we could assume, were not believers.
然后那个大部分的以色列民，我们可以假设他们都是未信者。
But there was a remnant.
但是他们是有这样的意识形态。
There always was a remnant of faith.
他们总是有这样的一个信。
A minority of people that were true believers, your brothers and sisters in the Lord.
就是我知道在我的弟兄姐妹里面有这样的一个信。
It's always been that way.
总是他们在虽然在那种情况，他们仍然有这样的一个信。
Ever since the garden.
就是在伊甸园的堕落之后
The majority of mankind have been non-believers.
大多数的子民变成是未信者了
But God has always his pocket of true remnant of faith, his believers.
但是神总是有成套的这样的真理来掌理一切那个他的百姓
It was that way in ancient Israel too.
在过去的以前是这样，现在仍然是这样。
So we're out here in the slave fields with Israelites.
所以在这边以色列百姓感受到那奴隶的方式是这样。
What's this guy thinking?
那这个人你觉得他在想什么呢?
He's one of the remnant.
他就是其中一个。
And he says to himself,
他说,
This is misery.
这太糟了。
But,
但是,
and that the word but, may the word but be large in our minds.
所以他说这太糟了，但是这个但是要让我们在头脑里面就要想很大的那个空间。
He says to himself, "I know God loves me."
他仍然对自己讲说，我知道神是爱我的。
I know that He will send a deliverer.
我知道他会差派一位拯救者。
How did he know this?
他怎么会知道呢？
Because he remembers his father Abraham.
因为他记得他的祖先亚伯拉罕。
He remembers our father Abraham.
他记得我的祖先亚伯拉罕。
What happened to our father Abraham?
对不起，再往前。OK， 他的祖先亚伯拉罕怎么样呢
？Abraham was not a believer either.
亚伯拉罕当初也是一个未信者啊。
Until one day.
直到有一日。
When he was 50, who knows how old he was?
也许五十几岁吧，不知道他到底那时候已经几岁了。
God spoke.
神对他说话。
Abraham.
亚伯拉罕。
And he became a believer in the one true God, his creator.
他就开始相信那独一真神的创造主。
And God made a covenant with Abraham.
神就跟亚伯拉罕立约了。
And in this covenant,
在这约里
God told Abraham, I'm going to multiply your people.
神就告诉亚伯拉罕，我要让你的后裔倍增。
And you and your people will be a blessing to the world.
你跟你的后裔就要成为全世界的祝福。
But Abraham, for a short time, I'm going to take your people down to Egypt.
但是亚伯拉罕那时候仍然想要把他百姓带到埃及，把他子家族。
But Abraham, I'm making a covenant with you.
但是亚伯拉罕，我现在是要跟你立约的。
A solemn agreement.
所以这是一个他掌管者他的一个跟他的同意。
Where I will promise to bring you up from Egypt.
我要把你从埃及地带出来。
And I will be your God, and you will be my people.
我要做你们的神，你们要做我的百姓。
Now picture yourself being Abraham.
好，把自己想象是亚伯拉罕。
Genesis chapter 15. Don't turn there. Genesis 15.
在创世纪十五章，不必翻。
Abraham hears God again.
亚伯拉罕在那边又听见神说了。
And Abraham finally understands what God says.
他终于在那时候了解神要说的是什么。
And God says to Abraham.
神就对亚伯拉罕说。
Abraham, you understand, you believe.
亚伯拉罕，你现在了解了，你相信了。
I declare you righteous.
我就宣布你是一个义人。
Friends, listen.
朋友们，听着。
Some of you have been raised in a Christian home.
有些人你们是基督徒的家庭长大。
And you heard the good news since before you were born.
在你还没出生前已经听见这好消息。
Some of you like me.
有些人是像我。
Became a believer when we were adults.
当我们长大之后才成为信徒的。
It was my first year at the university.
那是我在大学的第一年。
42 years ago.
那是42年前的事了。
I was 19 years old.
那时候我才19岁。
18 years old.
18岁。
When God appeared to me.
神就对我彰显。
And called me to himself for the scriptures.
把我呼召属于他自己专门要来研经。
Do you remember what it was like?
你还记不记得当初那个样子是什么样?
Do you remember the joy that you felt in being a new believer?
你还记不记得当初相信耶稣那时候的那种喜乐?
If you were like me, you probably couldn't keep quiet about it, could you?
若是你是我的话，在那时候你是静默不了的，不是吗?
You wanted to tell the world.
你就很想告诉全世界的人。
What makes us think that our forefathers in the Bible were any different?
所以在我们的祖先在圣经里面提到的，当初这样子的立约也是同样的。
Picture Abraham.
来想象一下，你是亚伯拉罕。
He's out there hearing from God.
他在那边听见神在对他说话。
God makes a covenant with him.
神跟他立这个约。
And he says, "You're righteous."
他说你是义人了。
And even though your people are going to be down in Egypt, I'm going to bring them up because I love you.
就算你的那个子孙会落到埃及地，但是我会把他们带出来，因为我爱你们。
So he comes home from work.
所以
comes home from work.
啊，所以接着他回家工作。
Comes into his tent.
然后进到他的帐幕里。
His wife Sarah says, "So how was work today?"
然后他太太莎拉就问他说，哎，你今天工作的怎么样呢？
Oh, it was okay.
啊，还不错啦。
Was it like that?
他会是这样讲而已吗?
He comes barging home from work, opens the tent, says, "Sarah, Sarah, you won't believe this."
他一定从工作的合场进到那个帐篷里，就打开说，莎拉，莎拉，我等不及要告诉你这个事。
Get the servants. I have something incredible to tell you.
我有一个很奇妙的事我要告诉你。
God justified me by my faith.
你知道，因着我的信，让神这么找到我了。
Why wasn't it like that for Abraham too? If it was like that for us.
对亚伯兰是这个样子，为什么对我们不是这个样子呢？
This was major.
这是非常大的。
This was important.
是非常重要的。
And so why wouldn't the family pass this down from generation to generation?
为什么这样的喜乐没有世代传承下来呢？
That poor slave out in the slave field in Egypt.
那些可怜的奴隶在埃及地感受到自己被奴役着。
Was hurting to his very core.
在他们的核心的部分是最受伤的。
But he remembers his father Abraham.
但他仍然记得他们的祖先亚伯拉罕。
God does love us.
所以是有这样的约。
And God does have a covenant with us.
神跟我们是真的有立的这个约。
And someday God is going to redeem us from this country.
所以有一日神必定把我们从这个国家救赎出去。
My father Abraham was justified by faith, and I am too, and you can be too, my fellow slaves.
所以我们的祖先亚伯拉罕是因着信，那我因着信也相信这个，所以各位，你们因着信，你们就算在奴隶中也可以有这个信。
God's remnant was testifying to the reality of God's love for them.
所以神自己的掌管，神也自己见证出他对他百姓的爱。
And God was getting His people ready to send the deliverer.
神也让他的百姓要预备好自己要离开那地。
But there's one more thing we need to talk about before we close this section.
当我们这一段要休息之前，我还有一件事情要来谈论。
Not only was God preparing His people,
不只是神是这么来看顾他百姓。
But God was doing one more thing.
神还更多做了一件事。
The plagues.
实在。
God was getting ready to bring His people out.
神已经预备要把他百姓带出来。
But first, there was some business to take care of.
首先，他必须要先照顾他们这些。
When an army
当我在军队里
wants to attack an enemy,
在军队里面其中有个任务
you don't just send the infantry in and say, okay, guys, let's fight.
他不会把这些军人就送到那个战场说好，开始作战。
You start the cannons.
他就会开始那个实习。
You start pounding the enemy with artillery.
然后来有那个模拟作战，就敌军的那种模拟作战。
Or before there were cannons, you get the archers out.
所以当他们要那个要去那个模拟实习作战的时候，他们必须要先学习这些。
And shower the enemy with arrows.
然后要学习拉弓，要如何来射这个箭。
Why?
为什么呢
？Because it softens the enemy up.
因为就是要把仇敌能够敌军能够一击溃败。
It weakens the enemy.
就让敌军变弱减弱他们的军力。
Now you can send the foot soldiers in to do the real work.
然后之后就是都是这些弓箭手先去，那步那让射完之后，才是步兵要进去。
Friends, there was a battle going on in Egypt.
所以朋友们，在埃及地真是有这样的一个战争。
God's kingdom versus Pharaoh's kingdom.
所以是神的国度跟法老的国度。
God's people were being held by the demons of Egypt.
所以神神的百姓是在埃及地被那些魔鬼压制着。
And these demons were manifested in all the different gods of Egypt.
这些魔鬼就在埃及不同的偶像彰显出来。
So God, before He brought us out of Egypt, before God brought us out of Egypt,
所以在神要把我们带出埃及地之前
，He begins the artillery.
他必须要来先来开始布置。
What's the artillery?
那这样的一个整地是怎么样呢
？The ten plagues.
就是用十灾来整地。
Each of these ten plagues.
每一个灾。
Focus on one of the major gods and demons of Egypt.
都指向在埃及主要的那几个偶像。
And it caused the Israelites and the Egyptians to see how stupid and foolish it was to trust in these gods.
让以色列民还有埃及人看见他们拜的这个偶像有多荒谬。
So you remember the plagues?
所以你记得这些灾。
The first plague was turning the Nile into blood.
那第一个灾就是把尼罗河变成都是血。
The great Nile River, the giver of Egypt's life. Oops.
就是把生命赐给那个埃及的那一条河。
It was worshipped.
他就是他们所拜的那条河。
God made a fool out of that God.
让神就来愚弄了他们拜的那个偶像。
And then all the rest of the plagues happened.
接着其他的灾。
There was frogs.
有蛙灾。
Insects.
还有那些虫灾。
There was all these were represented by major gods that were worshipped.
这都代表了埃及他们拜的那几个主要的偶像。
Animal diseases,
还有那些动物有灾有瘟疫。
Darkening of the sky, thunder and lightning.
然后在天空整个变黑暗，然后有闪电。
All of these were God's way of inflicting embarrassment on the gods of Egypt.
这些都是神刻意对准了埃及所拜的那些偶像，让他们蒙羞。
So that when we read and when God delivered Israel,
所以当我们读到神救赎以色列民,
it says in the text of Exodus,
他在出埃及记里面所说的,
that God made fools out of all the gods of Egypt.
神先来让那些所有埃及人拜的偶像蒙羞。
The last God to be made a fool of,
最后一位要蒙羞的偶像。
Was the most important Egyptian god of them all.
就是整个埃及人拜的最严重的。
That's Pharaoh.
那就是法老王。
He was worshipped.
就是他们在拜的，他被埃及人在拜着。
And Pharaoh's firstborn was the son was designed to take over.
所以埃及王他的长子就被击杀了。
And God made a fool out of that god too.
神也让他们埃及人所拜的这个最大的这个偶像也蒙羞。
That was the theological significance of the first 11 chapters.
这是在前十一章最主要的那个神学观、神学的部分要看见的。
We're going to take a short break.
我们会短短的休息一下。
And then we'll look at the political, the family, and the educational significance of the first 11 chapters.
所以再来下一段我们就是在十一章里面要看见在整个政治性还有整个掌管管理的那个重要性。
I think the break is until what time?